With What's News from the Wall Street Journal, I'm Charlie Turner in New York. Stocks ended the week in strong fashion Friday, with the NASDAQ Composite and S&P 500 finishing at record highs. The Dow Jones Industrials rose 133 points to 25,790. The NASDAQ jumped 67 points to 7,945, and the S&P rose 17 points to 2,874. The NASDAQ was the week's big gainer, up 1.7%. Akane Otane covers the markets for the Wall Street Journal, and she joins us now. Akane, it was not a good week for President Trump after guilty pleas and convictions for two former close aides of his. But all in all, it was a good week for U.S. financial markets.
That's right. The markets were remarkably resilient to that bit of news. I mean, we did see an immediate reaction in the futures market with some weakness there and some movement in Treasury yields after that news broke. But by the time we opened up the following day, stocks were sort of back to hovering near record highs. And then fast forward to Friday, the S&P 500 effectively did seal what has become the longest bull market ever with a new record high, its first since January.
The markets seem to be quite reassured by Fed Chairman Powell's speech at the annual symposium in Jackson Hole, Wyoming.
Yeah, I think people are always sort of nervous heading into central banking speeches just because there is always a possibility that they'll be surprised by what comes out. And in this case, people were looking for clues that Powell might intend on bringing the central bank to a more aggressive pace of interest rate increases. But he basically said the opposite. He says the economy looks strong. I'm not really worried about inflation running away just yet. And that justifies keeping this gradual course of rate increases, which is pretty reassuring news for stock investors.
Do you think there was any charge into the markets from the Fed minutes, the release of the Fed minutes from the last policy meeting? It signaled basically officials are ready to raise their short-term benchmark rate at the next meeting.
We didn't see too much of a reaction there, and I think that's because investors have largely come around to this idea that we're going to see four rate hikes this year instead of the three that the Fed had initially at the start of the year signaled it was planning on doing. So all in all, I feel like investors really took what the Fed had to say in stride.
Also, there was good earnings news earlier in the week after Target reported its best quarterly results in more than a decade, and the parent of TJX raised its guidance. Not very good news on the earnings front later in the week.
Yeah, and so we got sort of mixed movements in the stock market there, but overall, I think investors really were heartened by Target's results as one of the biggest sort of retail names out there. The fact that it has benefited from the strength of the U.S. economy and the fact that consumers are spending more is overall a reassuring sign. I think investors largely took into account that we're going to see weakness from individual brands from time to time, but overall, seeing an industry sort of leader posting good results is all good news.
And did the markets also discount the news that the U.S. and China slapped additional tariffs on each other and also trade talks concluded in Washington between the U.S. and China without really any progress?
That was another thing that you might have guessed would have tripped up the markets a little bit more. And instead, we saw the S&P 500 rise to a new record. So, I mean, I think a couple things on that. One, I don't think investors are necessarily pricing in a disaster on the trade front. But on the other hand, I don't think they're pricing in a swift resolution. I think the thought was always that hopefully cooler heads will prevail. But in the meantime, it's probably going to be a little bit bumpy. And the other thing is that trading volumes were pretty anemic throughout the week. So all of this good news, bad news that we've been getting, the number of traders out there to actually sort of digest the news and move on it was pretty low. I'm guessing just because it's one of the last weeks of the summer. A lot of people are out on vacation. So all those things sort of contributed to the relatively quiet sort of drift higher that we saw.
And as you say, the market remains resilient.
Absolutely. I mean, the overall picture, I think, when you ask investors, looks pretty positive. We have seen some weakness lately in the economy in certain parts, like the housing market, for instance. We saw another batch of weak data recently. But overall, when you look at things like the consumer, retail spending, the labor market, those all continue to be bright spots.
Wall Street Journal markets reporter Akane Otane. Thanks, Akane.
Thanks for having me.
And here's a look at what to expect in the week ahead. The economic highlight of the week is the government's revised estimate of second quarter gross domestic product. Last month's initial estimate pegged economic growth at 4.1%, and we'll get the government's July data on personal income and consumer spending. Also on the schedule are two August reports on consumer confidence, one from the Conference Board, the other the final estimate from the University of Michigan. In a repeat of this past week, the new week features a lot of retail earnings reports. Those reporting quarterly numbers include Best Buy, Dick's Sporting Goods, Lululemon, Tiffany, American Eagle, Abercrombie & Fitch, Dollar General, and Dollar Tree. And that's what's news. I'm Charlie Turner at the Wall Street Journal.